This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu al atamman al akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyeh wa stanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma wa arina al haqqa haqqan. وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين يا رب العالمين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue with our prophetic parables, the various parables that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم presented to us found in various ahadith. And tonight we have two parables found in the Sunan, the four Sunan. And the first of these parables is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the parable of himself and his ummah. And he mentions how this parable was given to him by two angels. And so this hadith is narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. He says, خَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا فَقَالَ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَنَامِ كَأَنَّ جِبْرِيلَ عِنْدَ رَأْسِي وَمِيكَائِيلَ عِنْدَ رِجْلَي يَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا لِصَاحِبِهِ اضرب له مثلا فقال اسمع سمعت أذنك وعقل عقل قلبك إنما مثلك ومثل أمتك كمثل ملك اتخذ دارا ثم بنى فيها بيتا ثم جعل فيها مائدة ثم بعث رسولا يدعو الناس إلى طعامه فمنهم من أجاب الرسول ومنهم من تركه فالله هو الملك والدار الإسلام والبيت الجنة وأنت يا محمد رسول فمن أجابك دخل الإسلام ومن دخل الإسلام دخل الجنة ومن دخل الجنة أكل ما فيها. In this hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنه, he says that one day the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to us and he said, I saw in a dream as if Jibreel was at my head and Mikael was at my feet. One of them said to the other, present a parable for him. So the other one, he said, listen so that your ears may hear. Pay attention so that your heart may understand. The parable of you and your ummah is like the example of a king who takes a piece of land, then he constructs a house on it. Then he places a table spread in it, then he sends a messenger to call the people to come and eat from it. Among them are those who answer the call of the messenger, and among them are those who abandon it. They don't respond to the call of the messenger. And then he said, so Allah is the king, and the land is Islam, and the house is Jannah, and you, O Muhammad, are the messenger. So whoever responds to you, he enters Islam, and whoever enters Islam, he enters Jannah. And whoever enters Jannah, he will eat whatever is in it. And so this hadith is narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and the early scholars of hadith, the early muhaddithun, they differed over its authenticity. But the later scholars of hadith, they came and they analyzed the various chains and narrations concerning this hadith, and they graded it as being authentic. And so this is a sahih hadith. And so in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes out to his companions and mentions how he saw a dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often do this. This is not the only example of how he would share his dreams with the companions. And the reason he would do this is because his dreams would always have lessons in them. His dreams would always have things to teach the companions about something. And the dreams of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are real. They are true and they are real. And they are revelation, they are wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike the rest of us, our dreams are not real. And so many times what we may see in our dreams, they could be from shaitan. But the dreams of the prophets and the messengers, they are real, and they are one of the ways in which Allah communicates with the prophets. So just like Allah reveals his message to them while they are awake and in full consciousness, Allah also reveals to them while they are asleep. And the evidence for that from the Quran is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he went to his son Ismail and he said to him, Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara. He went to Ismail and he said, Oh Ismail, my son, look, I saw in my dream that I am slaughtering you. So tell me what you think. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam was basically sending a message to his son that, look, this is a command from Allah, because our dreams are revelation from Allah. So tell me, what do you think? And so Ismail alayhi salam, he understood right away that this is Allah's command, that Ibrahim alayhi salam should do this. And so he said, I'm ready. And so that is evidence for the fact that the dreams of the prophets and messengers of Allah, they are real, they are true, and whatever they see is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out to the companions and tells them how he saw two of Allah's most favorite angels, and they are Jibreel and Mika'il. And so Jibreel is the greatest of Allah's angels, and his job, his task, is to bring the revelation from Allah to the prophets and the messengers. As for Mika'il, his job, his task, is to bring rain down from the sky. And so these two angels are from among the best of all the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that in his dream he saw these two angels, one standing at his head, the other standing at his feet, and they were talking to each other. So one of them, it's not mentioned which one of them said to the other, present to him a parable, meaning give him this example, meaning give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, give him this parable. So the other one, he started by saying, pay close attention. And here now, the angel is conversing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he's telling him, pay attention to this beautiful parable that I'm about to give to you. And so he gives this parable to him. And this parable is basically supposed to highlight the role of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as Allah's messenger. And also those who accept what he brought. Those who accept what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us that the angel, he mentions this parable to him. He says that your example, O Muhammad, and your ummah are like that of a king. A king who chooses a place to build his palace, his place of residence. Now, this is where I'm going to live. So he chooses the place. And then he builds his palace on this land. Then after the construction is completed and he's ready to move into this palace of his, he decides to have a huge feast. And so once the food is ready, the table spread is spread out with all the food on it. He sends a messenger to go and invite people to come and partake in this feast. And so the messenger goes and he tells them that, look, the king is inviting you guys to dinner in his house, in his palace. But not everyone accepts the invitation. And so some among the people accept it and they come and they enjoy that feast. But others, they decide not to accept the invitation. And then the angel explained to the Prophet ﷺ what this parable means and how it applies to the Prophet ﷺ and his ummah. So he said, Allah is the king, and the land where he built his palace, this is Islam, and the house, the palace that he built, this is Jannah. And you, O Muhammad, are the messenger. That messenger who the king sent to call and invite the people. So whoever responds to you enters Islam, and whoever enters into Islam, then he has entered into Jannah. And whoever enters into Jannah, then he will eat whatever is in it. Just like those who accept the invitation of the messenger of the king, they come into the palace and, you know, they eventually eat what was prepared for them. In another narration of this hadith, it mentions that whoever refuses the invitation, they will be punished. Whoever refuses the invitation, they will be punished. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create us to live in this dunya as a test, to see who will answer his call and who will not. What is Allah calling us to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yunus, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah says, and Allah calls everyone to Dar al-Salam, the home of peace, meaning Jannah. And Allah guides whomever He wills to the straight path. And so what Allah is calling all of humanity to is to Jannah. This is what Allah is inviting us to. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to answer the call of the messenger. Because the messenger, this is what he is inviting the people to. And so he is inviting them to Jannah. And he's also inviting them to that which will give us life. That which will give our hearts life, because our hearts are dead unless we fill them with the life of Iman. And the messenger is calling us to the eternal life, and that is the life of the Akhirah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, answer, respond to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which will give you life. And so what we see here is that the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he sent with the messenger, is nothing but the call to eternal life in the Akhirah, in Jannah. And so us answering the call and accepting that invitation is, in reality, it's for our own good. And we are the winners. We are the ones who are benefiting from responding to the call and accepting the invitation. Just like those who answered the call of the messenger to the king's feast. They benefited in the end of the day. They filled their bellies and they enjoyed their meal. As for the losers, they are the ones who missed out. They are those who did not bother to accept the invitation. Not that they did not receive any invitation, because that would be a different story. But rather, they received the invitation and they turned it down. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust when He will punish people in the Akhirah. Because the message had reached them and they refused to accept it. The invitation was sent to them through the messenger and through the Quran that Allah sent. But the people, they turned down the invitation of Allah after having received it. So now they are deserving of the punishment. As opposed to if Allah did not send any message, if the message had not reached the people, if the message had not reached them, then in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never punish them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never punishes anyone. He does not punish anyone except after the message has reached them. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah mentioned in the Quran, that He does not punish a nation until a messenger has come to it. So once the messenger has come and conveyed the message of Allah, and they refused, now they deserve the punishment. But before that, they don't deserve punishment. And so, those who miss out in the Akhirah, of the blessings of Jannah and so on and so forth, they will miss out as a result of their own choice to turn down Allah's call and Allah's invitation. And as such, they deserve nothing but the punishment of Allah, and they don't deserve any of the blessings of Jannah. In the Akhirah, they don't deserve anything of the blessings of Jannah. Why? Because they turned down the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now why will Allah give it to them? As for those who deserve Jannah, they are those who willingly accepted the invitation when it came to them. Even though it required a lot of hardship, a lot of sacrifice, but since they accepted it and they went through what they went through of hardship and sacrifice, all because they accepted that invitation, then now they have become the chosen ones who have become honored. And this will be in the Akhirah. These people will be the honored ones among all of mankind. Just like those who ate at the king's feast, the king, he considered them to be my chosen ones, those who I'm going to honor. And so this is as a result of them accepting the invitation. And so this hadith shows us, and this parable shows us, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah as being like the messenger who calls the people, and those who accept the invitation, they are the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so among the lessons that we learn from this hadith is, first of all, as we mentioned, the dreams of the prophets and the messengers, they are real. And so the dreams that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have, and that he would narrate to the companions, they were all real life events for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so whatever he told us is all true, and it is all revelation from Allah, whether he received it while being awake and fully conscious, or while he was what appears to us as if he's sleeping. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding himself that my eyes sleep, but my heart does not sleep. My eyes may sleep, meaning that physically I may seem as if I'm sleeping, and my body is getting rest, but my heart never sleeps. And this is a special characteristic of the prophets and the messengers of Allah, unlike the rest of us. When we sleep, our entire body and soul, has gone to sleep, and we lose consciousness. Whereas the prophets and the messengers, their hearts would be awake. And so whatever dreams they had, they were real. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this when he mentioned the story of the Isra' wal Mi'raj, when he was taken up to the heavens on that night. He mentioned how he was sleeping, and the angels came to him and they took him. And so he knew that they had come and taken him. And this was while he was asleep. And he told us everything that he saw on that night in precise detail. And so the dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all real life events for him. The second lesson that we learn from this hadith is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to, it is good and it is for our own benefit, even if we may not like it, or even if we cannot see the benefit in it. And so this means whatever Allah has legislated, whether it be rules, commands, prohibitions, or whether it be whatever Allah has decreed for us, it is for our own good, whether we see it or we don't see it, whether we can see the benefit in it or not. And so this is part of Allah's perfect attributes. And so among the attributes of Allah is that He is the all-knowledgeable. He is the most wise. What that means is that Allah will never do something except that there is a wisdom in it. He will not decree anything except that there is a wisdom in it. He will not legislate anything for us except that there is a wisdom in it, a benefit in it for us, whether we can see it or not. The third point is that whoever responds to the messenger, he will attain the promise of Allah. And the promise of Allah is that whoever obeys him, he will enter him into Jannah. And so this is the case even if we fall short. Whoever responds to the messenger, he will attain the promise of Allah, meaning Jannah. Even if he may fall short, even if he lags behind, eventually he will make it into Jannah. The evidence is in this hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he explained, you know, the house, he explained the land is Islam, the house is Jannah. And then he said, whoever enters Islam, he has entered paradise. Whoever enters into Islam has entered into Jannah. And so whoever becomes a Muslim, he is bound to go to Jannah, no matter what sins he may commit, no matter how great his sins may be. Even if he has to enter into the hellfire to be punished for his sins, eventually he'll be taken out and he'll be admitted into Jannah. Why? Because Allah does not break his promise. Whoever believes has iman, whoever has valid iman, and he does not commit any shirk, he is a person of tawheed and iman, the promise of Allah is to enter him into Jannah. On the other hand, whoever refuses the offer, the invitation of Allah that was sent in the hands of the messenger, then he will never attain the promise of Allah of Jannah, no matter what. No matter how pious he may have been, no matter how righteous he may have been, no matter what good deeds he may have done, if he does not accept the invitation to Islam, and he does not enter into Islam, no matter who he is, no matter what he did, he will never attain the promise of Allah of Jannah. Why? Because he turned down the invitation. And so no kafir, no mushrik can ever enter Jannah, no matter who he is, no matter what he may have done. Finally, among the lessons that we learn from this hadith is that Jannah is a place that will have physical pleasures for its inhabitants that we will enjoy with our souls and our bodies. And the evidence for that is in this hadith, whoever enters into Islam has entered into Jannah, and whoever enters into Jannah, he will eat of what is in it. And so Jannah has food, it has drinks, it has bodily pleasures that have been mentioned in so many different verses of the Quran and hadith. All of that prove that in Jannah we will enjoy physical pleasures. Unlike those who claim that Jannah is a place where we will not have any bodily pleasures and it is only a spiritual state that we will be in, and so on and so forth. This is what some deviant sects claim about Jannah.